Welcome to Bootstrap MD, the Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast, your source to help you, the entrepreneurial doctor, live life on your own terms. Get new ideas and inspiration to help you find more balance in your professional life. If you're ready to get the knowledge without all the hype, you've come to the right place. It's the Bootstrap MD Podcast. And now your host, Dr. Mike Wu Ming.
Hey, happy to announce something really cool that you won't want to miss. We just launched The Lounge. This is a free weekly newsletter tailored just for you, the physician entrepreneur and investor. You're going to stay ahead with the latest news in tech trends, entrepreneurial strategies, alternative investing, and passive income tips. And there's so much more, all designed to further your career and financial goals, delivered straight to your inbox every week. We'll also be spotlighting fellow physician entrepreneurs, sharing success stories, and providing valuable lessons from peers who are navigating the same exciting path that you are. No cost, no hassle, just important insights delivered straight to you every week. To sign up, just go to bootstrapmd.com/the lounge and subscribe today. It's 100% free. Once you enter the lounge, get ready to start shaping your future now. Hey guys, Dr. Mike Wu Ming. Welcome to another edition of Bootstrap MD, the podcast for healthcare and physician entrepreneurs. Well, welcome. Thanks for listening. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus, but we're getting back into swings. And I know there's been a lot of interest in cash practices, so much so that I'm putting together a training that's coming up very shortly. And also joining with us is my good friend and also fellow private practice owner, Dr. Ann Truong, who also has a very successful cash practice. As you know, we've been tag teaming and teaching this stuff with our Dr. Boss system and with our mastermind group. And I wanted to get her on the call today. We just got done with a really tumultuous election. I know there's uncertainty on both sides of the aisle on here. But what does that mean for cash practices? What does that mean for medicine? So we're going to put on our thinking hats and maybe our predictions and where we see it going. But first off, I want to welcome Ann Truong to the show. Ann, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me here. And I think we should, you know, have a more of a conversation about, you know, what's going to be changing for doctors coming up in 2025 and what should they be doing to thrive instead of just survive at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing it. I know you have too, as you also work with doctors. I work with doctors. I see, you know, I hear the uncertainty, but I'm also, maybe I'm a little naive. I've always felt, you know, when entrepreneurs thrive, it's during this time of uncertainty. It's this time of, you know, tumultuousness. And we see that again and again. When people are fearful, other people are brave. And usually who are brave are the entrepreneurs. And this is where success is being made. So let's talk about where you're seeing medicine. I think you are sharing me some statistics that's coming out with in line with Medicare and insurance-based medicine. You want to share that with us?
Yes, I just read an article, but I want to preface it by saying this, okay? As physicians, we are very resourceful and resilient. Just because the nature of being in medical school and qualifying and taking multiple tests and to be where we are now, because I see it in my daughter and her friend. My daughter right now is in medical school. She's in third year right now, but I see the resourcefulness. And I see that it takes a special person. I'm not saying it's special, but it takes a really particular person to go to med school and to really make it through without the board certification and everything else. So I want to say that as physician, if we set our mind to do something, we can do it. All right. So that's one thing. And that, like you said, this is a tumultuous time. And this is the really time where as physician, we have an advantage because we have went to med school. We passed the board certification. We can achieve this. So having said that, I read this article today on MD Link that Medicare legislation is scheduled on January 1st of 2025. Medicare RVU reimbursement is going to decrease by 2.8%. That's a lot. Now, that may not seem a lot, but if you're, you know, that 2.8% cut into your profit margin and other commercial insurance like Aetna, Cigna, Anthem, United, base their fee schedule off of Medicare fee schedule. So it's going to affect you across the board. And the cost of living is 4%, right? That's 4%. So you got to give your staff a raise at least 2 to 4% a year. And then on top of that, you're getting a 3.8% cut. So that means that you're already starting out in the negative that year. So having said that, and hopefully, Congress right now is going back after the election. Hopefully they can put a hold on it like they did a couple of other years. Who knows? I don't know what's going to happen at this point, but that's the reality that you're facing right now.
As a doctor, I wasn't used to asking for help, especially when it came to subjects outside of medicine. But then I found physiciancoaches.com. In an instant, I found hundreds of experts to help me in all aspects of life, on areas I was afraid to ask. Dealing with burnout, starting a side gig, money management, even help with my marriage. And the best part? Nearly all experts are physicians themselves. After reading their profile and a quick chat, I knew I found the right mentor for me. At physiciancoaches.com, help from professional colleagues is just a click away.
Yeah, right. Again, a lot of uneasiness. So in terms of insurance-based medicine, and that's why I think having a cash-based practice is really, it's the one thing that you can count on. One thing that you can count on that you're going to get paid. You can set the prices on what you would like to do. And you mentioned, we feel that there more and more doctors are getting involved in cash-based medicine. But you also brought up, let's say, what do you do with the doctor who is insurance-based right now? And you wanted to mention about creating hybrid practices. What is a hybrid practice?
Right, so a hybrid practice is a practice where a patient comes in through insurance. If you participate in insurance, they come in through insurance through initial consultation or new patient visit, and then you will offer services that are usually not covered under insurance, and that will be more of a cash-based basis. So I did that for a year when I was all insurance in 2018, and then I was doing more platelet-rich plasma procedures for sexual health and for pain management, which would, at that time, PRP was not covered at all. So I created a separate LLC, and if a patient wanted to do those procedures that's not covered by insurance, they would go kind of under a separate LLC, and that's where we would collect the payment and do the billing that way. So the two practices are separated. One is insurance and one is a cash-based practice, but they're all under the umbrella, and those two practices employ the physician because you have to kind of separate the two. And I even did separate EMR. Totally, if I was going to get audited by insurance carrier or by Medicare, it would be under company A, and then company B will be just cash based services, totally separated, with the patient signing ABN, or if they're Medicare, they sign ABN and they sign waiver that says that they acknowledge this is not a cover service. So you could do that, but what we find out was that in 2018, the administrative burden and the denial was more than that. It was requiring a lot of work from us, where I had to have two staff that were dedicated for just working on denial. And we had, bad debt of at least $200,000 at that time. And the work of trying to get the money that you owe is more than it's worth. So after a year, we just decided we're just going to go cash-based practice. And we found out when we went to cash-based that we work less, less hours, see less patient, and made more money. And so that's the point I'm trying to make. If you go to cash base, you don't really need to have a denial person. You don't need to have a billing person. You don't need to go to collection. You collect your services at the time of service. So I remember when I first went to cash practice, where after I saw a patient, I got paid that time, that moment right away, like I would pay my hairdresser. And it was a great feeling. It was a feeling of, Oh my God, you know, I'm getting paid for the service that I did instead of if you take insurance, you don't get paid until 14 days to 30 days after. That's it, if you even get paid, because 20% of your claims are could be denied because of a billing error. In fact, when we were taking insurance, were not paying us for like 30 days because they had a system error. And we did not get paid. And like 50% of our patients were at Anthem Insurance. And we keep bugging them. Finally, they paid us 90 days after. So you're just like at their mercy at that time. And you have to keep track of what is owed to you. That's it, if the insurance company can even keep track of that. So I you know, when as doctors, I know that, you know, with sometimes doctors feel a moral obligation that they should take insurance because they want, you know, they're there to help patient. But it's also you gotta pay the bills too. You gotta pay yourself, you gotta take care of your family. Because if you don't take care, if you're not financially stable, and if you're just working check to check and covering your staff, I have talked to to physicians who are making about $80,000 net after paying their staff, paying their expenses, and they're struggling living, you know, check to check. And they have been in practice now for at least 10 years, and it saddened me to really hear that. It makes my heart heavy to hear that, because my hairdresser, who worked only 3 days a week, make that much.
Yeah, you mentioned your hairdresser in the past. She must have very successful practice.
That's
So,
the truth.
yeah. So we know this with the changes. And again, I'm not. We're not focusing on politics or anything like that. You know, we're just saying what is. You know, what where do we see things going? And you know, it's no secret President Trump or President-elect Trump is probably going to do some changes to the Affordable Care Act. That means there's less people on insurance, but I know from my patients, a lot of them have health savings accounts, and they've been using that. Have you noticed with your patients, do they use other forms of paying for services using HSAs?
Oh yes, definitely. So they can use the HSA, and I think the allowable amount for a family is about 5,000. It may have gone up for a little bit there. And also, there are many, if you're thinking about cash-based services, a patient can apply for other loan programs such as CareCredit. There's a program called Cherry as well, if you're doing aesthetic. Where, you know, we're with CareCredit, and a patient can have 6 month or 9 month period where they can pay back the amount interest free. That's awesome. And so they can choose either 6 month or 9 months. There's another program called, I think it's called Care Advantage, is another financing program for a patient as well too. It's not as good as CareCredit, not as good as Cherry, but there's definitely alternative there. So if you're offering cash-based practices that patient can tap into the finance and also the HSA money. The HSA, a lot of patients don't realize, and they don't take out the money, is that it's pre-tax. So I tell patient, I said, if you have HSA program at your work, go ahead and do it, because it you put the money out pre-tax, and the money that they get taxed is after that HSA amount as well too. And financing, so a lot of our patients finance as well, because you know our services are 5-digit and up, and because we also offer 9 month interest free program. So there are certainly ways that patient can access this cash based practice. But I wanted to highlight that when you go to cash based, it could be scary. I did that in 2019. And Mike, I know you've done that longer than I have. You've been doing cash-based practice, you know, for more than a decade, right? And I want to ask your experience and how you have a thriving cash-based practice. And I can share you my anxiety. We went cash-based, 100% cash-based to 2019. It is scary. I know it is scary. And I also feel guilt too, because I feel like maybe I'm abandoning my patient, but I feel that I have to do self-care and I have to take care of my family too, because I cannot see 40 patients, 50 patients a day. And at that time, I knew that if we would continue to take insurance, I was on a pathway of a burnout And I was on a pathway of probably going to the hospital and have atrial fibrillation and a nervous breakdown because I was not a good person to be in. My health was being affected. I had SVT at that time. I was continuously getting pneumonias, and I didn't realize that was due to being overworked and stressed. And that was a big emphasis for us too. But also one of the reasons why we decided to go with cash, and I know some of the listeners may identify with this, was that we had an audit by actually Medicare. And since I do pain management, Medicare audited us and say that they wanted $80,000 back in payment over a 3-year period because we were doing injection to patient without documenting on the chart that they have failed 6 weeks of physical therapy and have failed NSAID, and therefore injection was necessary. So whether they did it or not, we just didn't document that word for word. And because they audited our chart, they said, well, we pay you this much, we want this much back. And for us, it was like, if you come in and you can't move your shoulder and I can give you an injection to alleviate that pain, you think you're going to go to 6 weeks of physical therapy and take NSAID so it can tear up your stomach? So as a physician, we help patients first, but we don't really, we don't document that, even though patient had failed that, but we didn't document that. And therefore we had to pay back. I actually hire a lawyer and realized that the cost of hiring the lawyer was as much as the payment paid back. So we actually pay back the amount, but also know that if you're getting audited by Medicare or even by the commercial insurance, they use the third party auditor. So, and those parties are being paid a commission of the amount that you are due in payment, meaning they're incentivized to find something wrong because that's how they're paid. So just know that. All right. So if somebody's going to go to your house and wear a white glove and find dirt, right, they're going to find dirt because they're going to look for everything. And that's what happened with us, with that. We had a lawyer. We tried to fight it and we ended up feeling that we were paying the same amount. So we ended up just paying the same amount. But and because I was trying, when we were trying to, just me and my other associate were trying to really help the patient. But then here we are being penalized because we're trying to help the patient. And that was kind of a big impetus for us to kind of move towards cash-based practice. And I can't tell you how relieved I am that we did that. I don't even read about the Medicare rules anymore. I don't care about the documentation that's required by primary care doctor about all these, documentation for, diabetes or chronic diseases at this point. So that's why I wanted to mention, and I'm sure some of the doctors listening may empathize with that because that being, I hear that being more and more, but I want to ask the doctors this: how long can you take insurance and see 40, 50 patients a day? You can do it now. Can you do it 10 years from now? Because I tell you, until 2018, I was in practice for 20 years, and I knew that I could not go on seeing that many patients a day and making less money every year, and then trying to document as well too. So yeah, but I wanted to kind of ask you as well too, Mike, how you created your cash-based practice.
Yeah, so before I started my practice, I mentioned before I was out of medicine for about 7 years intentionally. I had started a software company, so I was out. And the reason that I was out because when I graduated residency, I worked in a group primary care and working with my colleagues, and it just seemed every year we're having to see more patients and making less and less income, and I didn't understand it, and perhaps I was a bit naive. I went to Mayo. We didn't really, that kind of stuff. It was almost separate until I actually came in and actually, we're spending nights working on the, at that time, an antiquated electronic medical record. And it was like, okay, I have to say all these different things to get paid a certain amount. But then if I code a little bit more, or if I say a bit more things, I can get paid more. But then if I say more things, then they're gonna see I'm not a 99213. Now I'm a 99214, 99215. And that's gonna send a red flag. So maybe I'm overcoding it. So like you can never win. So what we were doing is we're undercoding things, even though we're doing more things. And so we're basically devaluing what services we're doing just so we don't get an audit. And you know, and then everything from that aspect, everything from fighting with insurance companies, trying to do what's right for a patient, asking for, you know, a CT scan, and they're trying to ar argue that they want to have an ultrasound because it's cheaper, but it doesn't really tell me anything. Just kind of these things, it just got more and more frustrating. And so when I was out of medicine, it allowed me to see like how the quote real world is and how companies worked and how they became efficient. And what was interesting to me was I was focused on, okay, what are the companies that are out there that were doing cash related cash, we were doing health related health services, but they were taking cash. And that led me to follow companies like a big franchise out there is called Massage Envy. So I worked with the marketing companies of Massage Envy. It's a big massage thing, and you might not think equate massage with health, but they were doing things like facials and doing things like that. And they keep me on that, you know, I saw these franchises everywhere. And when you see something that's everywhere, more than likely, they're probably successful at doing it. And so, what did that introduce me to? Something that you're known for is membership-based models. That's what they were doing, is having subscription-based models and membership-based models and offering different services. And when you offer one service to get them in, maybe you'll be doing multiple different services in. And insurance companies, if you think about it, why do doctors use insurance companies? Well, a lot of it is because they're not able to market their own services. They have to relate to insurance companies saying, we have X amount of people, and you now you're responsible for seeing all of those patients. Hey, that's great. You're going to have a busy practice. But I said, you know, if a doctor knows a little bit of a marketing, a little bit kind of savviness, and they can educate themselves as you did and I did, then wow, then the world is your oyster. Then you can actually realize it's like, wow, I can now focus on what are the type of things that people want. And so I basically said, so I started off saying, well, I want to do medical services that are insurance free, and what could I do? And that's how it kind of led to that, is then focusing on what are the problems that they're currently having. Because, you know, when I was in insurance-based medicine, and one of the reasons that we talked about weight loss is like when I was seeing 50 patients and they were overweight, how much time do I actually get to talk about weight loss? You know, I might say, hey, you just need to get more exercise, eat less. Yeah, that's so easy, right? But they don't get to spend any time with them. And we realize, hey, maybe we can spend more time with them. Maybe instead of putting them on five, six, seven types of medications to lower their blood pressure or treating a lab value, maybe we can actually make a difference. And then talking about nutrition, talking about the things that they're actually like listening to, and they're getting it from influencers and they're getting it from other people, but they're not getting their health education from their doctor. And that's why, you know, we're kind of trying to get more doctors to realize, hey, let us be the health educators for you, because we're not any mo longer that I'm seeing. I see it seems less and less that they're getting it from TikTok and Instagram. Nothing wrong with that, but most of the time they're not from medical trained individuals.
This podcast is sponsored by Doc2Doc Lending. Are you a physician looking to consolidate your loans or maybe start a new project like opening up your own clinic? Doc2Doc Lending understands the unique financial challenges you face and is here to support you every step of the way. You can benefit from low interest rates, a lightning fast approval process, and personalized loan options tailored exclusively for physicians. This company was founded by doctors for doctors. Don't let financial limitations hold you back any longer. Visit bootstrapmd.com/doc2doc to unlock your path into financial freedom today. That's bootstrapmd.com/doc2doc, and you can get started right away. Dr. Doc Lending helps empower physicians one loan at a time.
Well, I want to insert something. I was at a conference teaching last weekend in Boston. There were maybe 200 doctors there. The majority was, I was teaching a cash-based services, aesthetic, Botox fillers, PRP, platelet-rich plasma for hair regrowth and for the face. And there were other services such as weight loss as well. And these are cash-based practice. Guess what the majority of the people there were? RN, PA, NPs, chiropractors, and non-clinical people. There was only maybe 30 or even 25% were physicians that was there that was thinking about adding aesthetic services to their practice. So what got me thinking was, oh my God, you know what? These ally health, these RN, because you know RN now can do injections and can be just distantly supervised by somebody, by a doctor that probably never come to the clinic. So, and Mike, you and I both see that we're seeing clinics that's run by nurses that peripherally has a medical director peripherally that are signing charts, right? They're doing hormones, they're doing aesthetic, filler, Botox, and even PRP. So, you know, I'm seeing more ally health that are jumping on to cash-based services and now more than even doctors. And so if doctors are really kind of seeing what's going on, doctors kind of end up holding the burden of care with insurances, why the, you know, the RNs and the NPs and the naturopathic doctors. And, well, naturopathic doctors have always been non-insurance anyway, but chiropractors are ditching to go to cash-based services. So that's what I've noticed. And you know what? They're savvy. These people, I'm talking with them, they're very savvy about businesses and what service they need to do. I ran into two nurses that now have three clinics. There are in the three clinics that are purely just doing fillers and Botox. And now they want to do PRP for hair regrowth. And that's why they took the workshop that I did. I was teaching PRP for hair regrowth.
Yeah. I got to attend and then later speak at a conference. It was a cash practice conference, but 95% of them were physical therapists. And they were having cash-based physical therapy practices, but not just doing physical therapy. They're doing like, you know, pelvic floor training and all these different things on there. And they're doing very well with it. So I know time is growing short, you know, and I just happened to put some, you know, I'm big on AI and I'm big on AI, and they had some predictions on what are some things that they're going to be seeing. AI is going to be seeing in the next administration. Let me share you some of the things, because it's the stuff that we've been talking about. Direct primary care. Expanding direct primary care, increasing demand for subscription and membership-based models.
Ooh, that's what I've been stressing. You want to know about membership model? Contact me and Mike. We have a program for that right now.
Growing market for boutique specialty practices. And where I'm seeing this is not only in brick and mortar. I'm seeing this more on the telemedicine side as well. Mm. You know, you have your telemedicine that's doing urgent care, primary care. But you know what? The ones are really doing well. It's the weight loss only. It's the women's health. It's longevity medicine. It's hormone. This focusing, what I've always said in terms of like, when you want to attract new patients, you want to focus on, they want their problem solved now. They want it now. They're the ones that they're telling me now. I was working with a nurse. She wanted to have, you know, she wanted to do breast cancer prevention. You know, it was something that she was interested in and she had a passion for it. The problem is she couldn't get anybody interested in it because we're humans. Prevention is something down the road. What they're focusing on is my acne scars, my problems of controlling my bladder, my erectile dysfunction. That's the stuff that they are focused on right now, and these specialty boutique practices is going to keep growing and growing. You know, we're probably going to have less regulations, which I actually will welcome, you know, in terms of healthcare and government regulations. But I think also maybe that'll help in another avenue that we often been struggling with, I have, is been with pharmacies and getting access to medications. I don't know if you get involved with that too much, but I have been over the last year or two is playing almost like, you know, trying to find which ones that I can get into my state or California and different things like that. Have you experienced anything like that?
Not so much. California, it's hard. I have some patients in California that I've been trying to get medication for, even testosterone has been hard because not a lot of pharmacy can send medication to California for some reason. So I have seen difficulty only in California, but not in like other states, in like Washington or Florida. So I think it's state dependent, but I deal more with testosterone and GLP-1. But yeah, I mean, I have about five pharmacies that I use, and whichever pharmacy is available, I'll use that because we do compounding and we use PT-141 and we use peptides as well too. So there are some challenges, but and I think it's really state dependent. So that's why you always want to have at least five pharmacy to go to and to be resourceful.
Awesome. Now I know we've got a few minutes left. I wanted to we kind of teased what we're doing. We're doing something that really interesting that I think is what I realize is really with knowledge comes power, and it's really when you're involved in a group is really where the education really accelerates. Because when you talk about these things, these are things that you can't really talk about too much where you'll get benefits from. But when you have a group of cash practice owners, and that's what Ann and I have been trying to do, is to find more people involved in cash-based medical practices. And if you've been thinking about starting up your own cash-based practice, or maybe you have one right now, or it's not, you're launching it, perhaps it's still in its early stages, or maybe you're in insurance-based medicine, or maybe you're an employee, and maybe you and your boss have been, your other colleagues have been thinking about introducing cash-based services and or create a hybrid model. We're looking for a few doctors who want to be involved in this training. I'm calling it Cash Practice University. It's a series of, it's going to be a weekly training with myself. We're going to have Anne get guest on them and share her expertise. I'm going to hold you to that membership one because I know that's going to be really, people really want
Yeah,
it.
no, I love membership. Honestly, I think the best kept secret, and doctors are going to thrive in that if they know how to run it efficiently. And I will show you how to do that. We have actually two memberships. We have a membership for doctors right now, as well as a membership for men with the. And I'm hoping that you and I will be the membership where we deliver value, teaching doctors how to incorporate marketing in their practice and run a cash-based practice, as well as being business-wise as well too. Between the two of us, we have 50 years of experience in clinical practice, running a business, as well as marketers as well too. And where do you find like two people that love clinical and are good at marketing?
You're right. So we're calling it Cash Practice University. That's the tentative name for this. We're just looking for a small number of doctors. We're going to be actually launching it live probably in 2025. It's going to be a much more expensive price. But right now, we're looking for some people who kind of want to beta test and let me just know what the subjects are. So we're going to give a significant discount, as well as we got a little bit of a bonus for you too, is you get access to Anne's Dr. Boss software. You want to talk a little bit about that platform?
Yeah, so Dr. Boss Platware, I mean software, it's called a CRM, so customer relationship management, where at in simple languages, where as doctor you can keep all your patient database, all your information, so that way you can communicate with them effectively in texting and then email, and then get reviews, because that way when you get reviewed, you can rank higher. So we design it so that it's user friendly, so your staff can use it, and it help you engage a prospect who is inquiring about your services, and then converting them into a patient. Because there's three things that doctors need to have a thriving practice. You need new patient coming in, called new leads, and then you have patient that are become patient come back to you again, and then you need to have a service that you can charge more or add a non-insurance coverage service. There's three things. If you do all that, you're gonna have a thriving seven-figure practice that you do not have to worry about whoever is in office, whatever the whether there's a pandemic or not. Because what we find is that once you do that, you're gonna set three pillars of your practice that is gonna be recession proof and that you can thrive in it. That's how I feel right now. When you mentioned that, when the moment I learn about marketing and know how to utilize marketing in my practice, I feel like I have a superpower. I feel like I'm not afraid of what's going on economically or anything, because I know that I can tap into that skill and my list, which is the doctor software CRM, because when we tap into that list, we're going to be able to bring an offer or bring patient back again for more services. And so we design it as for the doctor's practice, design it so it's user-friendly, and really designed to do three things, like I said, bring more patient in, for patient to come back again, and also for charging a higher ticket.
Okay, and so the link to go for that is going to be bootstrapmd.com/go/CPU, stand for Cash Practice University. bootstrapmd.com/go/CPU. We'll put the link in the notes, gives you all the information for that. Again, we're going to keep it small. So I think it's going to sell out. We're going to see, or we're going to see how it goes. But I'd love to get, if you're interested in it, also drop me a line if you had any questions. I'll be happy to answer them. And thank you for your time. I know you got to run. And again, any last minute thoughts before we end the call today?
Yes, I just feel that, you know, as physician, if you're feeling underpaid, overworked, you're feeling burnt out, don't feel that you are stuck in it, all right? And that the knowledge that you have, the sacrifice that you sacrificed at least 12 years, 15 years of your life for to be where you're at is totally worth it. And people are dying to learn from you, dying to hear what you have to offer. You have a wealth of knowledge that can be shared with millions of people. And you can do that online. You can even do that in your practice. And Mike and I are passionate about sharing our knowledge and how you can start and integrate this even into your existing practice right now. I don't want you to feel that you're stuck, that you have no other option, because there's a thing that you don't know what you don't know. And hopefully listening to this episode, now you know there is an alternative. You don't have to be an employee of a healthcare system, right? You don't have to go into other admin position, that they're all alternatives. And we hope that you can reach out to us, because we're passionate about helping doctors create other income stream besides just seeing patient in the office.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening. Again, you got ups and downs in your business or just every day. But just remember, do something a little each day to get you closer to your goals and keep moving forward.
You've just listened to the Bootstrap MD podcast. For more valuable resources, as well as past recordings of our show, check out our website at bootstrapmd.com. Now let's get to work.